Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools, the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Good afternoon and welcome to Family by Design. I'm Joel Fisher, and so glad that you can join us today as we conclude a message that was part of the 2018-19 workshop series for Wellspring Christian Family Schools. It's actually the final message. The series was called Though I Be Loved the Less, and this message was entitled Looking at the Things That Are Unseen. Gary gave this message to a group of homeschooling families here at Wellspring Christian Family Schools for the March 2019 workshop. And we're going to return to Gary's message. Let's take a listen.
And the frustration is having to experience those consequences when you don't want to or you don't think you should have. And so there's that fuss that you put up in your spirit. And we call it frustration, but that leads to anger and other kinds of sin. So what I want to do, just quickly go back through the chapter to sort of recap. Just a real simple lesson, I'm going to walk through it really simply. We have this treasure in jars of clay, okay? That means we're not glamour queens. We're not glamour kings. We're jars of clay to show the surpassing power that belongs to God. So every time I see need, if I'm going to be applying the spiritual picture, looking at the things that are unseen, because those things are eternal, every time I find myself in a particular circumstance based on my weakness, that's an opportunity to look for the power of God so that the glory of God might be manifest. And it's the power of God that God wants to manifest in your life. So simply put, if you don't have a need where God's power is the only resource you're going to have, then you're not even going to pause for a minute to think of God's glory. If you're cruising in your own strength and the power of your own capability and the success of your own invention, if you're cruising along with no difficulty, then the glory is going to you. Good job, you did a great job. And you know, and it is so easy for us to want to have that affirmation that we're doing a good job, we're doing a great job. And yes, we want to be faithful, we want to receive the accolade from the Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But we need to understand, we have to pay attention. Stop it. Stop trying to figure out whether you're doing it perfectly. Look for the place of need where God wants to show himself strong, where he wants to give you overcoming power that you don't have the strength to overcome. Because if you don't, you don't have a glory-filled Christian life. You have a life that you patched together, and it will never last. Because in heaven, there's only one trophy. And all the accolades go to Jesus. Because he's the one that paid the price, brought us into the family, and showed us the way how the glory of God is realized in our life through the sorrow, through the tribulation, through the difficulty. So, if we're going to have this mindset where we're looking at the things that are eternal, where we're looking at the things that are not seen, then we have to have... we have to pay attention to what's going on. Now, this is a really silly illustration. But let's just pretend for a moment you're out in your garden and your youngest little child sees a worm all of a sudden pop out of the ground. Stick his head up and look around. And your little child goes, "Oh, Mommy, a monster." And what do you say? "Oh, yes, it's a horrible monster." No. You know the bigger picture. And you say, "Oh, no, it's spring. Spring is the time for growing new things." And that little worm is preparing the soil for seed to grow. Now, that's a silly illustration, but transfer that back into your own personal life. When you have, it says you're always caring about the dying of the Lord Jesus in your body. You're always carrying it around. Do you have an affliction that is constantly with you every minute of every day? A bodily affliction? Affliction that reminds you you're frail and you're on your way out? Do you have that? Praise God if you do, because that's where you get the vision to realize, okay, I'm dying. We're here to learn how to trust God and to live forever, not to preserve life so we never die. And the minute we learn that, we're released. I'm not here to preserve life so I never die. I'm here to embrace this dying of the Lord Jesus in my body because I want to learn how to capture the vision for living in light of eternity. You know, let's go back to this really quickly. There's two words here. There's the physical action of looking, and there's the spiritual reality of eternal and not eternal. And so here's the simple truth. If you're looking and seeing something in the temporal and that's motivating you, you're a temporal person. You're living for the minute, you're living for the moment. But if you're in a particular situation and you're looking past what you can see visibly, and of course this excruciatingly applies to those wonderful afflictions the Lord sends our way, and you look past the affliction and look for the eternal picture of what's really going on, then you're going to start seeing the eternal things and you're going to start working towards eternal things. Let's go back to the garden. This is, again, a silly illustration. But if I make the worm the problem, what do? I kill the worm. We shouldn't have worms. Stomp them out. But if I see the bigger picture of how valuable and important the worms are to creating life and bringing growth, then what do? Well, I ask the question, well, how can I cultivate the garden so we get the most worms possible? And you work with the worm instead of stomp them out. You welcome your affliction. You receive it because you can see that God is working something more. Now, do you see exactly what God is doing? Not entirely. And I just want to go back to my little pamphlet I handed out. And you can take an extra one with you if you know somebody, pass it on to if there's extra out there. But outside of the few slides from today's message, I have 22 pages of other scripture and meditation for you to reflect on. Because if the Bible tells us to think on the things which are eternal, and we're to look at those things, well, the only way you can really look at them is by meditating on them in light of the authority of the Word of God, which gives us comfort and gives us encouragement. So what I've done in these 22 pages of meditative readings in the scripture, I've taken New Testament accounts that reflect a little bit of what heaven's like. The record, the biblical record of what we see about heaven. And then I added a couple other devotionals that seem fitting. And my favorite meditation on heaven by Jonathan Edwards, which is at the very end, or almost very end. But it's just, they're just thoughtful things, but we need to be thinking in light of, now this is a little bit of a picture of thing of thoughtfulness, but I'm listening to a book be read to me in my car about heaven, and it's giving some stories of people that have died and then came back and they declared that they had been in heaven. And the book's written by a pastor and it's well researched. So these are actual factual cases, and we even have the skeptical doctors recognizing that what some of these testimonies are had to have been real. I mean, we're not trying to build a new theology, but anyway, getting to the story, these little accounts of people spending a few moments in heaven, all of their accounts are similar in two respects. There's always this bright light, which if you read the gospel account there in the Revelation, the bright light, which usually is flowing from Jesus. But then there's the warmth of love, of the love of God, that's so significant in terms of the balance of reality. And when you recognize that, well, we're not finishing here. We're finishing there. And so today, I'm in process. Tomorrow is the finish line. And the Lord knows when that is and why it is. But the purpose and reality is for us to keep that in mind. And that's really the focus of this passage. We have a difficult time right now, but it's a light momentary affliction when it's compared to the eternal weight of glory that we're going to know in heaven. And yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying you have to surrender today's hoped for happiness and joy in the moment. You have to surrender that in the context of the larger hope for heaven and the joy that's there. So that what? So that you can look at things properly. The thing that you're looking at in your child that temporarily is causing distress and frustration and anger, when you've arisen to that moment of frustration, you've only given yourself the verdict of what you're looking at. You're looking at the temporal, you're looking at the physical, you're looking at that which is passing away. But you're not looking at the spiritual reality of what's going to last forever. You know, what would happen if immediately a bomb went off and blew your house apart? And you all rushed into the throne of glory. What would matter about that little matter that you were fussing so much about? Obviously, what would matter was, were you bringing the heavenly perspective into that place? Or were you just stressing out? So, isn't that a happy account? Look at the bottom line there. We who live are always being given over to death. For Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh. Now, this is something exclusively for Christians. This is not something any unbeliever will ever experience. But because you are a born-again believer, because you have trusted in the promise of God, because you have eternal life through the Son, God says, okay, now here's the plan. Sorry about that. Here's the plan. Now that you have eternal life, my plan is to take earthly circumstances that are perishing and passing away, and I'm going to put you in situations where time and again, it looks like you're going to die. But in those situations, you're going to rise above the fear of death, and instead you're going to focus on the faith in the Son of God that I love you and I have eternal life for you, and you're going to process information from that confident position of eternity and living forever instead of the temporal tragedy of, oh no, the whole world's ending because Johnny didn't flush the toilet right. That's the picture. So it's a privilege and it's a promise. You're going to constantly be struggling in your mortal flesh so that as death works in you, that spiritual vision is going to be occurring and you're going to be bringing life to those that you're given the charge for. And that's so imperative. Now, you know, giving a kid what they want, even the most secular person commenting on parenting doesn't think that's a smart thing. But the thing that you and I need to keep in the visionary form is any time a child gets what they want in earthly terms, And we've simply capitulated and given it into them to stop the fussing and fuming. Anytime that happens, we have sold them out. We've sold them out to the temporal instead of the eternal. Do you really want to be responsible for selling your kids out? Something happened to my thing. That usually does. So, I apologize for my computer messing up. It does that once in a while. So this is the next slide, then, kind of a recap. For it is all for your sake, so that grace extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to God. What a visionary statement for your life purpose. God's working everything out for your sake. He brings you one trial so that you can find the grace of God in it, looking for the eternal, and have victory and rejoice and have that joy of the Lord. And then thanksgiving goes to God. But people all around you see it, and so it's a bubbling effect. And I just want to say this with promise. It never feels like much victory when we have one negative difficulty after another, because we tend to think that having the difficulty means something's wrong, so we want to fix what's wrong so we don't have the difficulty. And that brings me to just a little snapshot. I've had a couple interesting conversations recently on child rearing, and I was remembering a little mistake that I made as a dad early years. And the mistake I made was, I had heard correctly that it's important for a child to learn to listen. And I'd been training my child to listen to my voice, to hear me when I speak. But as 2 years begins to turn around the corner, I'm finding this child become sullen and angry and, you know, almost, well, to me, look like teenage rebellion, just sticking in like, forget you, kind of a situation. So I panicked, and I opened the scripture, and I went to Proverbs chapter 1, mostly chapter 1 and 2, and I realized I had made one little mistake in my expectation in teaching my child to listen. I was just trying to get them to listen in the moment to function. But what the proverb was focusing on is, I need to teach my child's heart to seek out my counsel, because they want to hear what I have to say. And so listening goes way deeper than in the surface moment of the situation. Listen to what I say, blah, 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 blah. No, it's recognizing that we have two motors. The motor that says, I'm in charge, and you get in line. And the motor that says, oh, God's in charge, and I need to get in line. And any kind of discipline that we might bring in that process is arresting their attention. That's all it is. It's arresting their attention. I do not believe in training a child like a horse, where you're just trying to train them how to behave. Training somebody to behave is so focused on the temporal, right this minute, effect. I want to train their heart to yearn to hear my voice. Listen, my son, and take my counsel and bring it into your heart. And listen to the law of your mother, and don't ever turn away from it. So it's the listening spirit, the heart that yearns to get instruction. That's what we're after. And if you ever discipline and you're just trying to fix the moment, remember one thing. Put an N in front of the word ever. You have never disciplined. It is not a discipline to correct a situation and then go on. What's necessary in any correction is to arrest the spirit of the child. Am I yearning to hear your counsel and your instruction? So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Now, the renewal that we get day by day is the hope that, oh, that's right, this is God's plan. And I'm on target. I'm where I should be. I'm right in the middle of a mess. And the Lord wants to be the solution to that mess. And I need to be the one who looks for Him and looks for the eternal things. So I look at the situation, and that's the only way an affliction looks light. When all of a sudden we see it in light of eternity, they realize, oh, that's right. I mean, just compare it. Once in a while I'll think of the tragedy of some people living really hard lives and never turning to God. And the little phrase that runs through my mind is, all this horrible tragedy in their life, and hell too, at the close of it. It's beyond comprehension. So, what are you looking at? Now, this is a repeating slide from each workshop, but it's important that you recognize that your reaction is a process by where others see and give God glory and give God thanks. And so you're supposed to be evidentiary. I have the next verse there. You're supposed to be adorning the doctrine of God in all things, so that what you're saying can be seen and it looks like it ought to look. And that does mean that you'll need to walk in the greatest humility, because you'll need to be repenting and asking forgiveness of your children when those times occur where you have lived in the moment and looked only on the temporary and gotten all worked up about that and failed to see what's really going on in eternity. Psalm 126, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. It's an interesting thing. It gets back to that little thanksgiving abounding everywhere. It will be seen. It will be seen. Right now it's not visible, but it will be seen that you have trusted your God. And it will be seen that He has given you the power to overcome in the present circumstance in a way where you know His presence, and you know His joy, and that joy bounces out of you with laughter and singing. So it's an incredible thing. Laughter and singing, the joy of the Lord always comes after I trust Him in a trial, and after I secure that visible knowledge of, oh, this is just passing through. If I don't ever, I like the way Paul said it in Romans 14, if I don't ever get to exercise my right to happiness again, that's okay. Because this life isn't about happiness. It's about love and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. That's what this life is about. Now I have a last slide here. What are you looking at? To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. And I just have to say that you might be filled with the fullness of God. This is the point of spiritual reality for you and me. It's the love of God that constrains us. It's the love of God that gives us compassion. It's the love of God that gives us eyes to see the eternal and not the temporal. And it's the love of God that I remember, you know, God in His love, He's so loving. He doesn't want us to miss out on heaven. Is that so hard? He doesn't want us to miss out on heaven. So what does He do? He makes the things of this earth troublesome and less than fulfilling. So in that frustration, we'll look for that which is more satisfying, which is Him. That's the plan. That's what He says. We don't want it. The earth is subject to frustration, not willingly, but by reason, thoughtfulness of the Lord, Him that has subjected it also to hope. Encourage you to take some time personally meditating on what the reality is, but what's going on in heaven is so incredibly real. It's more real than what's going on earth. And when the Spirit talks about a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before, the Lord wants us to remember. Everybody that has victory in Christ has lived in a difficult temporal situation whereby faith, they believed the promise and they saw the invisible. They saw the city of God. And they said, that's where I'm going. I'm going to that city. And you can't get there. It's not a theological quandary. It's a spiritual reality. The love of Christ fills you, satisfies you, constrains you, and then it flows out of you. And you don't want those around you to miss it. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name, and first I ask, Lord, that any heart here today that is sorrowful and unhappy, discouraged, confused, stressed out, Lord, I pray that they might be blessed to recognize in their spirit that you love them, and that in your love for the world, you created the solution for our sin, and you sent your only begotten Son, and he died on the cross, and the transaction is so little, and yet it's so huge. So I ask, Lord, for the humility today that, like little children who have absolute confidence in their loving daddy, that we call on you. We call on you for our need. We call on you for salvation in the moment. We ask for your power to be manifest where we ourselves are absolutely weak. And we ask, Lord, that you would let that calling be according to your commandment, that we call on you with all our heart, not with pretense or proposition, but in surrender and in full faith. Be pleased with us, Lord, so that we might walk by faith, and thank you for our circumstances, each one, and let us in these circumstances, Lord, find you, find the eternal reality, and live for that, and be an example, and be a light, and be a fragrance of your power and glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so it's about 20 after.
We hope you've been encouraged by the message today, particularly if you are a parent, to be able to look beyond the temporary circumstance and the bigger picture that our Heavenly Father is working for us. Sometimes it's hard to see that as a parent, and we hope that you've been given some vision today from this message. You can listen to the entire workshop series if you go to wcfs.edu and click on the Resources tab. You'll find Family by Design Radio, and that will take you to our audio vault for the messages in this series, as well as previous messages and broadcasts. If you'd like to send us a note or give us a call, you're welcome to do so. Send us an email at radio, that's R-A-D-I-O, at wcfs.edu, or you can give us a phone call at 301-241-2072. We would love to hear from you if you have thoughts for the program, or if you're interested in getting more information about our parent ministry, Wellspring Christian Family Schools, a premier homeschool academy located in Maryland. Well, on behalf of all the staff here at Family by Design and Wellspring Christian Family Schools, I'm Joel Fisher, hoping that you have a great week and that you'll tune in next time right here, Family by Design, where we help you treasure God's design for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.